us this morning. And I really pray, and I'm as I've been considering what to share and how to share this week, just really, I want to inspire you, you know. I want you to be inspired that, you know, what we've been speaking about the past 2 weeks, what Mike has been bringing is that God the Father has sent His Helper, the Holy Spirit, and He's going to give you gifts, and He's going to empower you, He's going to give you grace to do the things of the Lord and to please Him. And this morning, I really want to inspire you that one of the signs of being filled with the Spirit is being a witness, and we'll dive into what that means and hopefully dismantle some of the pressures that you might feel associated with that. But if you are filled with the Spirit, we see that people just started, they started speaking about Jesus boldly. But before that, before we get into the detail of that, I just want to, you know, position us a little bit. So where have we come from? Where are we now? And where are we going to an extent? I want to tell you that everything is going according to God's plan. Amen? Okay? God's plan, it's going according to God's plan. There's no doubt about that. It is 100% on track for what God wants to be happening. Amen? We agree with that? So, God created the earth and human beings, Adam and Eve, in the garden. He decided after the fall to create a special people for Him, a chosen people, separate, set apart, holy, through Abraham, a physical lineage through Abraham, and that became the nation that we know of as today as Israel, right? And this was God's testimony. It was His evidence in the Old Testament, the Israelites. It was His witness to the world of who He is. Amen? And what they did was, the Israelites, they took physical ground. They had armies, and they went and killed people, and they took territory. Okay? Thank God, you know, I don't have to suit up today and take physical territory. Okay? And so things have changed, you know, so we have the image and the shadow of Israel, where God has a plan to be the king and to conquer the kingdom of darkness, right? Through the kingdom of light. I want to see more of the kingdom of light taking ground and diminishing the kingdom of darkness on this earth. Amen? And God, instead of the physical Israel now, He's doing it through the church. He's doing it through us. And He's spreading the kingdom of light through us. And how that happens is people's lives are transformed. People who are born into sin, born with a sinful nature, born into the kingdom of darkness, God is conveying them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it only happens when a person starts to believe in Jesus Christ and he is born again. The old dies and Jesus gives you a new heart, a new spirit. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's no longer as the physical Israel, only they would house the presence of God. It is now distributed among us, the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's, in a very short nutshell, a little bit of context. God wants to use you. He wants to use the church to take territory, to take ground on this earth. Amen? All right. And so let's read Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive, so Jesus speaking, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And praise God, that prophecy was fulfilled. Amen? We know that they were sent out into all the world. And how did the message reach us at the tip of South Africa? It was by people sharing and witnessing to the ends of the earth. So, hallelujah for fulfilled prophecy. John chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. But I just want to highlight that word witnesses, which I'll jump into now. In John 15, Jesus again says, "When the Advocate, Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So who's he? The Spirit. And who will he testify about? Amen. "And you also must testify." So in the context, Jesus is speaking to a group of human beings, limited to possibly however big his following was at that point. We know at minimum it was 12. So if you think that today we're a small group and we can't accomplish much, we're bigger than the group that Jesus is speaking to, okay? And he says, "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Okay? And, you know, obviously to that group, they had been with him from the beginning. And we have been with Jesus. If you are in Christ, if you are born again, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you have been with him. And, you know, you have been given a spirit from God that Jesus says, "I will send to you from the Father that will testify about me." So it will testify about Jesus. And, you know, let's dive into the definition of the word witness, okay? I love a little bit of courtroom drama. It's been especially fun to watch a series or two that is, you know, got a courtroom setting, dun dun dun, and, you know, bull, and all sorts of things. And I love it playing out, you know, what's going to happen? Is the truth really going to come out? And what happens is they have witnesses. Amen? So what qualifies them to be a witness? Like, if you call someone to the stand, do they have to have a degree? Do they have to... Okay, they don't have to, but they could, right? What's the qualifying criteria to be a witness? You have to have seen something, okay? I think, and you can't lie. True. but you can still be a witness and lie, but anyway. But, you know, anyone that's called to the stand has seen something. And it could be anyone that just happened to be in the vicinity of that thing happening that could be a witness, right? And so the definition, Merriam-Webster, she says, or they say, a witness is attestation of a fact or an event. So being able to say and verbalize a fact or an event that you've seen, okay? And then the second definition, or, you know, and the nuances to different words, is one that gives evidence. So a witness is one that gives evidence, okay? The apostles were lucky in this sense, I think, because they actually physically saw Jesus. So they had physical sight, that they physically could have seen what Jesus had done. They physically saw him die on the cross. They physically saw his resurrected body. And they testified about this. They witnessed about this. They were persecuted, injured, martyred because of this witness, this testimony that they shared. But, I mean, what are you going to do if you have seen this wonderful thing? How can you lie to yourself if you've seen the Son of God resurrected in the physical form? And so, you know, I didn't live 2,000 years ago. And I haven't seen the physical form of Jesus. Okay? But I have seen God move and do miracles in front of my eyes. And I have seen him save people. I want to reference a story about 10, 12 years ago, I was living in Wellington. I had a friend called Andy Murray, and we were in a Bible school setting. And he, funny enough, yeah, let's not get into that detail. But his name was Andy. His real name's Andrew Murray, which is similar to the guy who wrote books and so on. But he was my friend. And we were, on Saturdays, we used to get together, and we used to, for about 2 or 3 hours, we used to watch, like, worship videos. And we used to just bask in the presence of God. And we just, I had the time and the energy, okay, to just put out a couple of hours to just, you know, worship and pray and spend time being doused in the presence of God. And just seeking Him and being like, wow, what we're seeing here, watching, like, there was a revival going on in a certain area in America at that time. And they were live streaming the services. And we were watching, we were just so inspired by what God was doing there. And just really enjoying the ministry and the worship that came out of that time. And the one particular Saturday, we'd spent our time and thought it'd be good to get some physical food as well. So we walked to Pick and Pay. And as we walk into Pick and Pay, there's a group of people braying outside in the street, and a little bit under the influence of who knows what. But the one guy came to us, Andy and I were walking, and he came to us, and he presented this fruit to Andy. And at first, we just walked by, and we're like, these guys are obviously intoxicated. So let's just move on. We don't want any trouble, you know. But we were walking, and then Andy stopped. And so I stopped, and he walked back, and he went up to the guy, and he asked him, do you know what this fruit means? And he was like, what do you mean? It's just a fruit. Like, but do you know what it represents? And there's a crowd. They could obviously hear the conversation. And Andy went into explaining, like, how God created Adam and Eve, and they chose to eat the fruit, and that caused sin, which caused us to be in the current position. And so he shared the gospel out of a person just presenting a fruit to him in the street. And what happened out of that was we prayed for them there. The neighbors, the people next door, invited us into their home to pray for them. Then after that, we're leaving, going to Pick and Pay because we're still hungry. These people chase us down. They say, no, you need to come pray for us. We prayed for them. And that couple's name, they asked us to pray for their son, and we prayed for them. And that couple's name is Stephen and Chanel. And so out of that whole story, there's a couple in Wellington that have now become community leaders. And Chanel is such an evangelistic spirit. And so many people, I believe, she's drawn in to the church. And Mike, you can verify. Just because of someone presenting a fruit, and Andy, I believe, inspired by the boldness, because we were filled with the Spirit at that point. We'd been filled to the brim with the Spirit of God in that moment, that he had the boldness to go back to a potentially malicious group and start a conversation about what does this fruit represent? And so what we see in the Acts is we see as people were filled with the Spirit, they boldly shared and spoke about Jesus. They testified, they witnessed, okay? And sure, you know, they were in positions, they were witnessing in courts, they were witnessing on the streets, miracles were following them, okay? Granted, that's the next level, okay? We might be witnessing or telling people, hey, I was reading the Bible this week, and God showed me that, you know, in the whatever it is that he showed you, okay? I was praying, and God answered, and this you could be sharing with a friend, could be with your sister or your brother or your mother, right? In a natural relationship that you have, you could be sharing of what God has been doing in your life, okay? And many times, so let's jump to Acts chapter 4, Jessica. Let's start with 31, please, and then we're going to go back to 24. Okay, so in 4 verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Okay, so again, we see the filling of the Spirit associated with boldness. I was hoping, I saw the weather said that there were going to be thunderstorms today. I thought it might be a bit shaky, but God isn't, maybe it'll come. Maybe there'll still be a thunderstorm. Maybe this place will be shook by the end of this. Maybe not, but I still believe God can fill you with us with the Spirit even without shaking the building. But you know, after this prayer, okay, so they were praying. And I want to go through the prayer from verse 24, and I want to show you that these are the prayers that we pray. If you've been to a Paul prayer meeting, you will have prayed this. Okay, so let's check it out. Verse 24. When they heard this, so they shared about their persecutions, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Okay? Maybe we don't use that wording, but we pray, God, you are the creator. You are our king. You are the beginning of everything. You know, you are our Lord. We pray that prayer. Yeah. Right. Verse 25. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Okay? We say, God, in the Bible it says, you know, Paul Congregation Translation. We say, God, you say, you in your word it says, in Acts chapter, you know. So we also reference the Bible. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? We are also praying about what's going on in earth, political turmoil, wars, all of those things. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. I haven't heard that prayer lately. Okay. But I think it was particularly relevant because the people who were against them at that point had obviously crucified Jesus. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Does that sound familiar? Lord, everything is happening according to your plan. You know, your will is higher. Your ways are higher than our ways. Okay? These are the types of prayers we pray. And then, I want to get, let's just skip to 30. Okay. Stretch out your hand to heal. Do we pray for God to heal people? Perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Okay? And after they prayed these prayers, which sound very similar to the kind of prayers that we pray, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I don't know about you, but sometimes, even on a Sunday morning after worship, I feel so fired up and I feel like I could take on the world. And then I leave and I and something happens and the feeling diminishes. I feel like there's a boldness that God gives us in these times when we pray and we worship and we spend time receiving the Spirit. And so, I think the key here is that, you know, what does it mean for each and every one of us sitting here this morning? Like I said, you know, you didn't see Jesus physically crucified or physically resurrected, but you are seeing evidences of him in your life. And, you know, I'll share this quick story. The morning that you prayed for us before we went to Russia, I was standing here, and I was praying to God, and I was saying, God, why aren't you speaking to me? Like, why can't I hear you? I feel like there's a bit of a disconnect between you and I. Is there something that I need to repent of? And I was praying these prayers and just not feeling like connected or feeling that I could hear him in that moment. And then you called us three, Betta and Danae and me four, and you started praying for us, and it was super normal for me. I was like, wow, this is a great prayer. And I was, you know, in our reference, something like, yeah, you were a boy and now you're a man. And I laughed and I thought it was funny. Da, 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 da. And I know it was meaningful and powerful for you. But for me in that moment, out of nowhere, I couldn't, like, and no expectation. And I'm not generally one who experiences the Spirit of God physically, you know, that like my body is affected. When I know the Spirit of God is here, it's a very faint experience for me. It's very sensitive. Like, I have to be very sensitive to it to know that it is that the Spirit of the Lord is here. And so it's not an overwhelming feeling for me. But in a moment, I started weeping, crying like a child, like my children do. And there was this intense weight inside of my spirit that felt so heavy that it pulled me towards the ground. And it's just like, I can't explain it or describe it, but it gave me a sense of boldness as I went to our friends in Russia and we shared, and I knew that when I was standing, anytime I was sharing, I knew that God had spiritually ordained this. I knew that I could speak knowing that God had spoken to me. And what he revealed to me in that moment, I knew that what I was sharing was, because he revealed it to me in that moment, I knew that the Spirit of God had touched me. And so I can speak boldly about these things. And, you know, there's an evidence for me in that moment of the Spirit filling me and moving in my life. And I can speak about that with you today. It's a witness of what God has done. And some of you could have seen that and heard it and asked God, what is going on? And I'm telling you that he filled me in that moment with an incredible love and awoke a fire inside of me for the people in Russia. And there was a moment where I was dissatisfied. There was a moment where I was like, Lord, like something's not right. And even in our lives, I want to point to you, like, you need to ask yourself. You need to evaluate. And you need to examine yourself. You know, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, to see if we are in the Lord. You know, examine yourself. Look at your life and ask God, Lord, I haven't seen you for the last 2 weeks. I haven't heard you in the last 4 weeks. You know, like, what is it, God? Like, examine me, Lord. Because you can't speak of things that you haven't seen or heard from the Lord. And, you know, there should be no other pressure on you than to speak of what you have seen and heard God doing in your life. And so, let's just pray for that right now. I just feel the Lord opening that up. But Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are in us and around us this morning, Lord God. Thank you that those of us who believe in you this morning, Lord God, you've transformed our bodies into temples of your Spirit. And a good temple is a place where your Spirit dwells. And Lord, you've done everything possible for us to be dwelling places of your Spirit, Lord God. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that you will come give us a holy dissatisfaction, Lord God, for the lack of evidence of you in our lives, Lord God. Give us a holy dissatisfaction, Lord God. Let's ask you the hard questions, Lord. Why is it like this, Lord? Why don't I see you in this area, Lord God? Why haven't I heard you this week, Lord? And Lord, I pray for those moments, Lord God, where you come in like a rushing wave, like a tsunami, and you come and overwhelm us with your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you'll break open our banks, Lord God. Increase our embankments, increase our dam walls, Lord God, to house you, Lord. But also, Lord God, come and trickle in like a stream and continually fill us every day. Lord, I pray, Father, for those of that have this holy dissatisfaction with the lack of you in their lives, Lord God, in their daily walks, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would come and reward them with evidences of you, Lord God, with miracles and signs and wonders, Lord God. And as they witness and speak, Lord God, that people will get saved, that they will be conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' name, Lord. There's this beautiful, beautiful story that comes out of the early 1900s. Has anyone heard of the Azusa Street Revival? Okay, so in that time, early 1900s, they thought that this was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People were speaking in tongues. People were being physically affected by this presence of God in their meetings. And they were like, we've never seen this before. Okay? No one who was there, they were like, we have never seen the Spirit of God move like this before. Okay? So they thought, like, this is a revival. This is new, what God is doing. And I can't remember how many, but there was an Armenian who had just before the genocide that happened in World War I, so between 1914 and 1918, there was a prophecy 50 years before that, and there were certain Armenians that heeded that prophecy and left Armenia and went, and this guy was in America, and he was saying, when he was walking past the Azusa Street, and he saw what was going on. He saw people praying in tongues. He saw people being ministered to by the Spirit. And he said to his friend, and he ran back to his community and his friends, and he said, hey guys, I have seen people praying the way that we used to pray in Armenia. I am seeing the signs of how we used to meet together. Okay? And the beauty of that story for me is, even before that, when the one younger guy tells of when they were in Armenia, the Russian missionaries came over the mountain, and they used to eat together and minister to them. And they would then prepare a huge table. And before they ate, they prayed, and they would not eat until they physically experienced the presence of God. So they waited. Imagine going to Nalika's house for lunch, and she's prepared a beautiful spread, and obviously the table dressing is magnificent. And we're sitting and we're waiting. The food's hot, and the aroma's, you know, hitting your nostrils, and you're like, "This is amazing." It's like the rib that I've got waiting for me at home that was in the slow cooker overnight. I've got big plans. And then everything's ready. That's why I've kept the ribs outside of the fridge. And imagine you're waiting, everyone's sitting at table, and you say, hey, let's pray. And nobody eats until we physically start to experience the presence of God. However strong or faint that might be for you. But, you know, and I want you to evaluate, and I've been evaluating, what is the kind of waiting on God that is going on in my life? You know, in this, like, this is a good example. You could be listening to this preach, or you could be worshiping God, and you could just be waiting for it to be over, right? Or you could be waiting on God to speak to you, to move in your life, to touch you, right? You could be waiting for that. As you're sitting there now listening, you could be waiting for this preach to be over, or for God to touch you, or for God to speak to you, or for God to give you something that could make, when you walk out of here, make it different. make you more in tune and in touch with the presence of God. And so I want to end with that. Let's take a brief moment. You know, waiting on God for me on a daily basis looks like this. When I pray, I tell God, thank you, Lord, that you have made me a temple of your Spirit. And I thank you, God, that you fill me every day. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me right now. And then I wait. And that could be 1 minute or 30 seconds, or it could be 5. And where I just wait on him and I ask him, God, just, I need you. I am your servant, Lord God. Speak to me, Lord. Fill me, God. That's what that looks like for me on a daily basis. That can happen right now, and I think I will pray that together now. And that's what it looks for me on a daily basis. It's not like this prolonged 2-hour thing. It's a simple 1 or 2, 3 sentence prayer and surrender, you know. And the more often I do that, the more I experience boldness and the presence of God in my life and him speaking to me. So why don't we stand together? I'll pray a simple prayer and then let's give it some time. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us abandoned and orphaned, excluded from the kingdom of God, Lord, but that you invited us in as children, and you made us temples of your Spirit, Lord God. You dealt with every reason. You dealt with sin. You dealt with our inability to receive you, Lord God. You dealt with that, and you gave us a new heart and a new spirit that can receive you, Lord God. And I pray for faith to arise in this place, whether you feel it or not, whether you feel the presence of God or not. I pray for the blessed assurance. I pray for the absolute assurance that I am filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, I thank you that you fill us, Lord God. I thank you that you give us grace, Lord God. And Father, I pray, God, as you fill us today, that you would give us boldness to be witnesses of what you have done in our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, let's just wait on him.